Everyone for attending today's class. I pray for the blessings, prayers of the Vaishnavas that I may see something useful and beneficial for all of us, including myself. So I thank you for this. Today there will be two verses. The one that's on the board, I will speak just by myself, and then the one following it we will do together. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, 6th chapter, 33rd verse, Kalevaram Parashubish Chitvata Te Vajo Kasa Dure Shipva Vayavasho Yadahan Kashtaveshtitam. Translation. The inhabitants of Braj cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces with the help of axes. Then they threw the pieces far away, covered them with wood, and burned them to ashes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. It is the practice that after a snake has been killed, its body is cut into various pieces for fear that it may come to life again simply by interacting with air. Merely killing a serpent is not sufficient. After it is killed, it must be cut into pieces and burned, and then the danger will be over. Putana resembled a great serpent, and therefore the cowherd men took the same precautions by burning her body to ashes. Text 34. The Yamanasya Dehasya Dumascha Guru Sorabam Utita Krishna Nirbukta Sapad Yahata Papmana. Dayamanasya Dehasya Dumash Chaguru Sorabha Uttita Krishna Nirbukta Sapad Yahata Papmana. Dahyamanasya Dehasya Dumascha Guru Sorabham Utita Krishna Nirbukta Sapadya Hatta Papmana. Shalimasya. Dumascha Guru Saurabha. Sapanya Sapapana. Ladies, please. Ayam Manasya Devasya. Tayamanasya, while being burnt to ashes. Dehasya, of the body of Putana. Dumaha, the smoke. Cha, and. Aguru Sorabha, turned into saintly scented smoke of the Aguru herb. Utihita, emanating from her body. Krishna Nirbukta, sorry, because of Krishna's having sucked her breast. Sapadi, immediately. Ahata papmanaha, her material body became spiritualized or relieved of all material conditions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed from all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like a guru incense. Please repeat. Because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like a guru incense. Purport. Such are the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other becomes Krishna conscious by applying his senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately freed from material contamination. Shrinvatam sva katha Krishna punya shravana kirtana, from the Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Hearing about the activities of Krishna is the beginning of purified life. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes purified. Therefore, in discharging devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, is most important. Therefore, when purified senses, then with purified senses, one begins to render service to the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. In other words, one uses his own senses to please or serve Krishna's senses. Bhaktir Uchite. This is called bhakti. When Putana was somehow or other directly or indirectly induced to render some service to the Lord by feeding him with her breasts, she was immediately purified. So much so that when her nasty material body was burnt to ashes, it gave off the fragrance of a guru, the most agreeably scented herb. Omagina timiran syag vinanjana shalakaya chakshud unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Just read the verse one more time again. Omagina timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes. With the torchlight of knowledge, I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet, my spiritual master. Just giving the translation again, because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like a guru incense. So this gives us some idea.
Pardon me.
It gives us some idea of the potency of Krishna's radiation, of his emanation, of what is manifesting from his body, from his eyes, from his hands, from his legs. He is literally an ocean of spirituality. And Putana happened to, by allowing Krishna to suck her breast, basically became covered over by this ocean of spirituality. So the ocean of spirituality had the effect of washing away the ocean of darkness of which she was completely afflicted, since she was a demoness. And her only pleasure was killing little babies and drinking their blood, maybe flying on branches. So she was basically a very miserable person, because what a horrible way to gain one's pleasure, by killing little babies and drinking their blood. You can just see how low. And yet Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his potency or his power to transform living beings, no matter how dark, no matter how criminal, no matter how terrible they may be, nothing can stop his washing or eradicating effect of darkness. It is for this reason that we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As we know, the mantra is none different from Krishna, and when we chant it, we actually associate with Krishna through our tongue and through our voice, and by that association we too receive that emanation of Krishna's spirituality. But we receive it in lesser degree than when Putana. She was in a very drastic situation. For one thing, she allowed Krishna to suck her breast, and then when she wanted to take him away, he wouldn't stop. He continued. Not only did he continue taking the milk and more or less regarding her like a mother, but he also began taking her life and taking her prana, her life air. So therefore, that was very difficult, because as he took her life air, she could feel weakness overcoming her. She was not able to even hardly stand. and she couldn't hardly move her hands. She couldn't even have the strength to pull him off, because Krishna is all powerful. And when he wants to do something, no one can stop him. And that's exactly what he wanted to do. As we know, whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, Krishna says, at that time, I descend to this world to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So he had come to kill demons, get rid of them. Of course, he didn't have to do that. He could have had any number of demigods do that. But since he was coming also to interact and have loving pastimes with his devotees, in his Vasudev mentality, he killed demon after demon after demon. In his Krishna mentality, he simply frolics and has fun and expresses loving affection and playfulness to his devotees, his boyfriends, his girlfriends, his parents, Mother Yashoda, Nanda. And everyone there, of course, takes an extreme, I wouldn't say liking, an extreme love to him, so much so that they can never even stop thinking of him. But when they perform activities, they're churning butter, they're thinking of Krishna, they're thinking of his pastimes, they're thinking of his beauty. And so Krishna is on their mind all the time. But when the demons come in, Krishna also likes to protect his devotees. He does not like to see his devotees in any way harmed. So therefore, his aim or his goal to kill Putana, and after killing her, to send her back home, back to Godhead. So she was completely spiritualized. She had, as I said, been washed by the ocean of Krishna's spirituality. But there's another little story behind this, which some of us may know. It was indicated or mentioned in one of the after the class commentary, and I'd like to elaborate this a little bit more, because it's very important. It appears in my book, The Supreme Mystic, and I believe I got it out of the Garga Samhita, if not that, then the Brahmavivarta Purana. And it's many, many eons or many thousands of years ago, at the time when Bali Maharaj was holding his big sacrifice, and Vamanadeva had come, of course, to take away everything he had. So when Vamanadeva, he came in, his little dwarf, little brahmachari, he looked very cute, very charming, very delightful to behold. And in the arena near the VIP, where the VIPs were, you know, Bali Maharaj and the Brahmins and so forth, was his daughter, whose name was Ratmavali. Now, Ratmavali, when she saw little Vamanadeva, she couldn't stop gazing at him. She was completely enamored of him, but the enamorment was one of maternal affection, not romantic affection. So she looked at him, she gazed at him, she absorbed him, took him into her heart, and the words that came to her mind were, he is the person that I want to have as my child. I want to nurse him. And this went on her mind very strongly. And obviously, Vamanadeva, according to what Srila Prabhupada mentioned, what is mentioned, it said he heard her thoughts, and in hearing those thoughts, he decided that he would fulfill her desire. But he could not fulfill it in that particular time and place. There were other things that had to be accomplished, other things that had to be done. But he would fulfill it at a later date or at a later time when she would appear again. And this was the time. So we have to remember that Putana had in her heart this desire, although in her Putana form she was not conscious of that. But all she was conscious of is that she felt some attraction to Krishna. I mean, why would she want to nurse him? There are so many other ways you can kill a child. And yet the desire to nurse him was strong in her mind. She could have just stolen him and kidnapped him, flew up into the sky. But the desire to nurse him was very powerful. And where did that desire come from? How did it get stimulated? By Krishna, of course. He simply reminded her of her past desire and that he was about to fulfill it. So on the one hand, the very act of nursing for her would be pleasurable, but on the other hand, there would also be accompanied by animosity or hostility. So it was kind of like what you call ambivalent feelings she had. Affectionate feelings on the one hand, hostile feelings on the other hand. So she was betwixt and between. But of course to Krishna, he wanted to fulfill her desire. So he would do that. Now we also have to remember that Ratnavali is the daughter of King Bali. And King Bali is a grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And Ratnavali is a great-granddaughter of Prahlad Maharaj. And in the time when Lord Nrsingadev, or right after he killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj prayed for some blessings. He said, please forgive my father, who is so sinful and offensive to me and to you. And he said, also, please enable him, or help him to become liberated. So this was his compassion. Although Prahlad Maharaj received from his father so many attempts to be killed, piercing him, throwing him off a mountain, throwing him into a hole where the snakes were, subjecting him to blasting winds, tremendous heat, icy cold, all sorts of ghosts and goblins. But nothing could, of course, affect Prahlad Maharaj because he was so totally protected by Lord Nrsingadev. And being protected by him, he realized how small, how insignificant, how foolish, how stupid his father was, trying to kill the Supreme Lord, having the desire to kill the Supreme Lord. He knew it would have been better to make friendships with his friend. So he had compassion. He didn't say, what a horrible person my father is. Rather, he had compassion. He said, my father is ignorant. He's foolish. He's dumb. The best thing I can do for him is to beg the Lord to infuse him with the knowledge that was infused into me when I was in the womb of my mother. And Narada Muni was reciting Shastra, or speaking transcendental knowledge. So he said, that's the best I could do, because then he could be liberated, and that would be my pleasure, Prahlad is thinking. He doesn't get any pleasure as a normal worldly person would in seeing his father be killed or coming back as a demon again. He just wants enlightenment for his father. So therefore, Lord Nrsingadev, not only will I save your father or not enlighten your father, but for 11 generations back, they also will become liberated. And 11 generations forward, and of course Bali Maharaj is within that period, and so is this Ratnavali in that period. So she's guaranteed liberation just from the very fact that Prahlad Maharaj obtained or eked that blessing from Lord Nrsingadev. So therefore, it is a combination of several things. Of course, she was drowned in the ocean of spirituality from the Lord, from his closeness. But on the other hand, as well as that, she was blessed by the fact that Prahlad Maharaj was able to get this tremendous, wonderful blessing from Lord Nrsingadev. So what this all shows us is that even a little bit of love, which Ratnavali had when she saw Vamanadeva, even a little bit of intense love can have such an effect. It can touch the Lord so deeply. And he can respond to that deep affection that the devotee has, assuming that it is pure And in the case of Ratnamabali, she was speaking more or less like a mother. There was no ulterior motive. She wasn't even thinking of liberation. She was simply thinking she wants to nurse a very beautiful, lovable, charming child. So our business, of course, is to to develop spiritual feelings, loving feelings, kind of feelings that Krishna will fully appreciate. And when we perform our spiritual activities, whether it's chanting the holy name, whether it's cooking foodstuffs to make it into prasadam, whether it's dressing the deities, or whether it is just walking across the street, or just driving in our car, Krishna says, whatever you do. He says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. And offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without a doubt. So he makes this promise to Arjuna. He makes it actually twice, two times. One in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And another time in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Engage your mind in always thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me. Thus completely absorbed in me. Surely you will come to me. So this is what Krishna is emphasizing many times throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Even he mentions to Arjuna, whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fear. Therefore, without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me. Always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. So that's a promise that Krishna is making. Of course, it's not easy to do that. Sometimes we have work which involves the mind thinking of certain things, the intelligence figuring out certain things. Nonetheless, in the background, we can have that sense and feeling that, why am I doing this? What is the reason for it? What is the basis of it? The basis is, I want to give pleasure to Krishna. That's what love is all about. Giving pleasure to Krishna. And also, besides giving pleasure, relieving him of any distress he may have. Krishna has distress? Yes, he does have distress. When he sees all of his living entities suffering out there. So every time one of us distributes a book or talks to a person and tries to interest him in Krishna consciousness in some manner or form, that pleases Krishna, because if the person takes the book and reads the book, and the book is like a flashlight, and it lights up the darkness of that person's consciousness, and the person begins to somehow vaguely remember that there is a higher purpose in life, then that makes Krishna very happy. And if the person takes to Krishna consciousness and begins chanting Hare Krishna mantra, comes to the temple, takes Krishna prasadam, he's on the way back to becoming ultimately fully liberated. The liberation process has already started. So powerful is it. So Krishna is very pleased when we try to give pleasure to him. And when all offerings are made with the heart, not just mechanically or robotically or indifferently, but done because we know that there is no one greater, higher, or better to make our offerings to than Krishna. So when Krishna sees that there is this love, this purity, this strength, this eagerness to please Krishna, he reciprocates with us. And the way he reciprocates in the heart. He's in the heart as super soul. We're in the heart as soul. And he simply shares himself. As he says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What is the reward? Himself. He gives more and more of himself. And what is that self? Self is his peacefulness, his affection, his kindness, his sweetness, his goodness, his happiness. So when we begin to feel a touch of the happiness that Krishna is always feeling, that makes us feel very wonderful, and we want to share Krishna consciousness more and more. So that is our goal to remember Krishna as often as possible. As Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do it as an offering unto me, and this way you'll be freed from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, giving, 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 give to me, give to me. You have nothing left ultimately except the thought of me, Krishna is saying. And when you have only the thought of me for serving, then, of course, you will become fully enamored of me, fully fixed in your love for me, and your devotional service will bring greater and greater blissfulness and peacefulness, truthfulness, and Krishna's love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or any... you have a question? Yes, Mataji. Maybe we can get a... do we have a microphone working? Yeah. Because to the persons who are listening online, they can have the benefit of your question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a very nice explanation of Putana's motives. I know that... she was the daughter of Bali in the last life, so I'm understanding that she had this motive to be affectionate to Krishna because she saw Vamanadeva. But I'm also wondering why did she have so much animosity?
Well, first of all, she was born as a demoness, and she associated with demons. And as to the exact reason, which is, I think, what you're looking for, I don't know. All I know is that when demons associate with one another, they bring out the demonic qualities of one another. So I see a hand up in the rear, so please, Vijay Prabhu. Do you have the answer to her question?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
She wanted to, when she saw that he was so beautiful, she wanted to be the mother. She wanted to... You know, take care of him and have motherly affection. But then when she saw that he took all the property of Bali Maharaj, her father, she wanted to kill him. So that, there was that. That's how that... Actually, he even explains it better. Give it to him. Go ahead.
No, thanks so much, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. As B.I. Prabhu said...
Hold you for just one moment.
Yes.
He took all the property, but he also... Krishna gave him himself. And he became... Krishna himself became the doorkeeper in Adsutala planet. And he became his... Oh, for continuing what you...
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu.
So she wanted to feed... Vamanadev with the milk from her breath. So when Vamanadev took everything from Bali Maharaj, then she became very angry and she thought, if I feed this boy with my milk breaths, I will put poison and I'm gonna kill him. So that's explain why he did what she did when she became Putana. Is that right?
I don't know. I've never heard this part of it. I can't say anything about it. Is that from the Garga Samhita also? What is your source for that? The source of what I said is from either Garga Samhita or Brahmavivarta Purana.
I cannot say that, but that's the... displays on her.
Okay. All what right. is the source of Vijay? What was the source of your?
I've heard this.
Well, the problem is I always like to assign a definite book to this, and that it's not something that somebody simply said for whatever reason it may be, and even may be some spiritual master. I've heard things from even spiritual masters which. Could not be traced back to any particular scripture. So anyway, I won't say it's wrong, I won't say it's right, I will simply say that this is what we're hearing without any particular reference to it. Okay? So it's up to you to decide on that for yourself.
most Western people would consider a superstition that when a snake is killed, you have to cut it into pieces and burn it. Okay, that's why the cowherd men did this with Putin, as you read, that they thought Putin resembled the serpent, so they cut her up and burned her like that. So Prabhupada seems to go along with that here in the purport. Prabhupada actually says that merely killing a serpent is not sufficient. After it is killed, it must be cut to pieces and burned, and then the danger will be over. So could you throw some further light on this? How is it that serpents are able to come back to life?
I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if somebody has some information, fine. Please pass the mic over. But one thing I will say is I've seen worms cut and they still go on wiggling for quite a while. But go ahead.
It is with cobras that a cobra takes with its eye, will take a photo of the person who's killing it. And cobras have a mate. And that mate will search for the cobra. And if it sees the cobra dead, it will also see who killed it. And that mate will go after the killer. So it's very important in India to burn a cobra's body.
Ah, I see. So that another cobra won't get the picture. Okay, thank you very much. I think is there any other question or comment anyone would like to make? Thank you all very much. It's been a pleasure sharing. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.